You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
We're hot. And are we ever? Because, Chris, you will have to validate that this actually took place moments before the show. The gloss over here has some custom gloss she was putting on her lips. She's just finished, just in time, so that she's fully glossed for this radio show.
That looks legit. That looks like legit gloss.
Hey, you got to look the part, right?
She's got her own name on it, and she just tallied it up. I mean, she just finished
up.
She touched herself before she got going here.
That is branding. That's branding and marketing.
Personalized gloss right here.
Carla, gloss. That's what we got. And you have something here.
I do. I think we need an opening for the opening because, you know, Chris, did you know this is National Bosses Day?
Oh, man.
Yeah, just go with it. Go with it.
Wait a minute. Let me ask. If today is National Bosses Day, no one in my company seems to know or else they know. And
your best employee happens to know. So you get to open a little gift for National Bosses Day.
Oh, my goodness.
You are
It's all
the best
wrapped
boss.
Up. It's beautiful.
Just like Steve Carell said.
Wow. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you're going to need this.
Because
you have to deal with me every Monday night.
A beautiful bottle of wine, and hopefully you got it out before the fires.
Well, and do you see that this is a carrier? Because, you know, you tease me about the amount of bags I bring in for my prep. Now you have your own little backpack.
Well, for those who have never seen it, which is 99.9% of the world, when Carla Gloss Dawson comes into the studio to do the show, she comes in about an hour too early, and she brings... Well, the over-under is about
several rolling bags.
7 or 8 bags. I don't really know. She didn't have to change an outfit for this show, but she brings a whole bounty of goodies with her. And today you brought me a great bottle of wine.
It's
Thank you
of
very
prep
much.
To keep up with you, big guy. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, this is fantastic.
Well, good. Enjoy. It's going to help you get through the next 2 hours with me.
Well, this is a show that is best consumed with a cocktail. So if you're at home and you have a chance, pour yourself a cold one. Pour yourself your favorite drink. It's the Boss and the Gloss, David and Carla.
Get your gloss on. And let's go.
And let's go. It's a big night, actually, in sports. Not only are people tuning in to hear us, but there also happens to be a big baseball game and a big Monday night football game. And we will talk about those when we come back. We've got the Astros at the Yankees, a big one. And Monday night football, it's going to be the Colts and the Titans. We'll talk all about that when we return on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Here we go, Monday night and Monday night football about to get underway. We also have a big baseball game. It's the Yankees and the Astros. But the Monday night football matchup is really interesting in a league filled with parity this year. It just seems that nobody can break away from the pack. This is a matchup of two teams in the AFC South. Here we sit with the Titans, and they are 3-3, and or 2-3, and I'm envisioning they're going to win tonight. But they're facing the Colts, who are also 2-3, and then you've got the Texans at 3-3, and
atop the division, sharing the lead with the Jaguars.
That division is so tightly wound. This makes this game somewhat significant.
It really does. It's interesting, too, because it's a league with quarterback issues right now.
Yeah.
You start with Jacksonville, the consistency of a Blake Bortles. The Texans have hit the gold mine, apparently. Then you've got the Colts. We don't have Andrew Luck back even yet, so they're going to start Jacoby Brissett again, who has done well for them. And Mariota, while he is, I think, a transcendent player, he can't keep healthy and stay on the field. So that division is really, to me, comes down to the quarterbacks that can be on the field and make those plays.
Well, of course, Mariota missed last week, and it was notable on the field. He will suit up tonight, and so they will be better positioned than they have in previous weeks. But that is a division. AFC South, right now, looking what Deshaun Watson's doing for the Texans, you have to figure they feel great about the quarterback position. In fact, the quarterback position...
It's finally settled, as long as we can keep him healthy.
Finally is settled here in Houston. Mariota is certainly settled for the Titans. Blake Bortles, we're going to talk to Dick Stockton next segment. I'd love to ask him about Bortles because he covers the Jaguars. He was covering the Jaguars game against the Rams yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun to see what he has to say about Bortles. But I just don't see that Bortles is the answer there.
No, and I don't see that Chad Henne behind him is either. But it's interesting because they really, they have put so much money into that defense, and it's amazing. And they've got a great run game, and Leonard Fournette is proving to be just as built. He's amazing. He is a strong workhorse. So I think the quarterback position is going to be tricky for them.
Okay, so have you heard the rumors? They're out there. There were two this week.
Is this related to your Cowboys?
Well, not anymore, really, perhaps. But there were two rumors on how the Jaguars are going to fix their quarterback situation for the here and now.
He's not coming out of the booth,
the
people.
The premise is that the Jaguars have everything they need but a quarterback. And there is one in a broadcast booth who seems to know what plays to run or will be run before they're even done. Tony Romo. The rumors are he would come back and he would step in and lead the Jaguars to the hinterlands.
Jim Nantz says no way. He's not leaving. He's not letting him leave.
He didn't want to. They've really formed a good duo. And
they have, and he's great. Why would you go punish yourself? I guess, you know what? I guess the answer to that is you're a competitor. You want to be on the field if you can.
And the argument would be that Jacksonville has all the elements there. Fournette at running back. That sets up the play-action pass for Romo.
They've got a great O-line that's able to block.
Great O-line, and obviously they're stacked on defense. That the one missing ingredient would be a quarterback, and Tony Romo could fill that bill.
And you like Tom Coughlin for Tony Romo?
Well, then the other dynamic was that the rumor was that Eli Manning, who, of course, played for Coughlin when Coughlin was a coach, now Coughlin's over there in the front office with the Jaguars, that Coughlin would go and make a trade for Eli Manning. Now, this rumor started before the Giants.
The big win.
Well, the Giants are back.
They're back. 0-5 is like a thing of the past now. They beat the Broncos.
They can't give up Eli Manning. But the rumor was, with an 0-5 start, they ought to trade Eli, get some value for him, reposition for the future, and really tank the rest of the year and pick up a Sam Darnold or a Josh Rosen or one of the other top quarterbacks at the draft.
Remains to be seen. But the AFC is a tight race. I like it.
Tight race in the AFC, actually, across the NFL. There's it's
a
land
of parity.
There's no dominant team. And, of course, the Chiefs lost their first game.
So no undefeateds left.
No undefeateds left. The Don Shula Dolphins popped a bottle of champagne, knowing that they are the one team that would have the perfect unblemished season yet again
absolutely.
For another year.
Absolutely. We've got to get Mark Clayton back on to celebrate that.
So that's Monday Night Football. It will be the Titans. I think they're going to come away with a win tonight over the Colts, but we will see. The other big news, of course, is the Astros and the Yankees playing in Game 3. Astros winning 2 at home, and now they head back to Yankee Stadium. What do you look forward
straight.
To tonight? Yeah, the Astros could wait. If they could get 3 straight, they'd be in a dominant spot.
I think I'm looking at the pitching matchup, of course, because CC Sabathia, wow, he looked fantastic in the previous series. So it'll depend on him, and it also will depend on Charlie Morton. I mean, I like him. I'm not totally convinced, but he's ready for tonight. He can be lights out for us. He really can. But I think the key is he's going to need to go longer. He's going to need to go 5-6 innings, I think, so that we don't have to dip too far into the bullpen, because the Yankees bullpen is their gold.
Well, and it always seems when the Yankees are in trouble, they turn to Sabathia. He's been great in the postseason, and then with that great bullpen behind him. Certainly, this is a game tonight that seems to, well, the matchup seemed to fare for the Yankees, and that would make the series 2-1.
Yeah, it does. So we will have to see. It's been interesting, though, because the Astros, their style of play with their power bats, they're usually not the ones to win the low-scoring games. And they've won both games, 1-2, same score, 2-1, 2-1. So this will be a really interesting, it'll be an interesting game, especially if the Astros can get their bats going. Because honestly, the bats haven't really been going like we're used to. So I'd love to see that.
Well, it was a 1-2 punch, Altuve and Correa. Very, very exciting finale in the ninth inning there for game 2 victory by the Astros.
And what was neat about that is right before the ninth inning, when they're tied up at 1-1, going into the top of the ninth, Correa said to Altuve, "We need to do this. We got to do this for Verlander, who's pitched all 9 innings, and we've got to do this for our team." Now, Altuve said, "Let's do it." Now, I don't know how you have the power, two men like that, to be able to control the pitches you're going to get, all of that, but they did it. And, you know, Altuve was on base, and Correa, on a 3-2 count, just drops it beautifully between the center fielder and the right fielder. And then Gary Bettis, oh my gosh, is he ever brave, just running him all the way home for the winning run. Well, it was so exciting.
When that ball was hit, I did not think Altuve was going to make it all the way around, and it was an incredible finale, a walk-off score by Altuve. Another big play. So we're talking Dodgers-Cubs now. I mean, look at the Dodgers. 2-0, Justin Turner, a modern-day Kirk Gibson.
Oh, my God. On the anniversary of that dreaded home run. I was in.
Dreaded, you say?
Yes. I'm an Oakland girl. I was there for Kirk Gibson's home run win off of Dennis Eckersley.
And did you have sort of a flashback feeling when you saw it?
Yes, I had a sinking feeling. There's no doubt about that. But, wow, that's pretty tough to break a 1-1 tie in the bottom of the ninth, handed to the Dodgers. They did it with Justin Turner breaking that out for a 4-1 win.
But so there's a whole mystery here about baseball and the magic of it and baseball gods and superstitions. Mm-hmm. So there it is. Justin Turner does it on the anniversary of Kirk Gibson. Mm-hmm. Amazing sort of flashback moment. Here's another one. And we were talking about it off the air that in 2014, Sports Illustrated declared that the Astros were going to win the World Series this year. And look, it wasn't just a wide-eyed declaration. They looked at the farm system. They thought about the way Luhnow was building the team. And in 2014, 3 years ago, they said this Astros team would win it all. And Astros are just 6 games away from that title.
Just don't put them on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's a curse. It's real. They did it to Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, and I don't want to see this happen again. So keep them off the cover.
You know that if the Astros win and go to the World Series, there's probably going to be a dual cover. It'll be on one side their 2014 cover prediction, and then on the other side, are the Astros really going to fulfill this? And so, I mean, that's just coming, and that's probably coming the week of the World Series. So, Astros will have to beat that SI jinx for sure.
But, you know, you brought up a good point about their farm system. And you really have to credit a team who suffered through, this is the Astros, a 100-loss season. But what they got out of that was Carlos Correa, because they have been very strategic and very intentional in how they build their farm system. And that has bode well for them. So, you know, if you can make lemonade out of lemons, like the Astros have done, great, great man, you know, GM Jeff Luhnow, you really got to credit what he's done. And Jim Crane giving him the resources and the ability to do it. And, you know, now they've fired right before the postseason, several of their scouts. And they're really leaning on their sabermetrics teams, those guys, the analytics, the quants. So we'll see. Big changes.
Well, also under this heading of baseball gods, we had a team meeting today talking about how after Katrina hit New Orleans in such a devastating fashion, the Saints went on to win the Super Bowl, and after Harvey has now hit Houston in such a devastating fashion, might that be the precursor? Maybe the baseball gods are going to give Houston a break and bring the World Series title back to Houston.
Yes, because we've got Carlos Correa and Carlos Beltran dealing with Hurricane Maria from Puerto Rico and their families. So we need a big pick-me-up. I think the World Series would do it nicely.
Interesting. You got Carlos Beltran and McCann, the catcher, both former Yankees, returning to Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. They have been instrumental in leading this Astros team.
Yeah, really incredible veteran leadership that the Yankees just let go. We were the lucky ones.
Well, the Yankees were in the midst of a youth movement, and the Astros needed a few veteran pieces. So that was probably a good outcome for players and teams combined.
Yeah, it really was, including Josh Reddick, also from Oakland, the other veteran that they brought in the offseason.
No doubt.
He's been money for us, too, for the Astros.
No doubt. All right, that'll be that one's underway. It's in the first inning, and it's Houston and the Yankees 0-0. We look forward to Dick Stockton, the legendary NFL broadcaster. When we return, Dick will join us here on SB Nation Radio.
Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio, the legendary sports broadcaster, Dick Stockton. Dick, welcome in with David and Carla.
David, Carla, great to be on with you. Thanks for asking me to come on.
Well, great to have you. So you yesterday were covering the Rams and Jaguars, and what a great start the Rams are off to, certainly better than anybody anticipated. Jared Goff playing well, Todd Gurley running well. Have they surprised you thus far?
Oh, without question. And, I think Sean McVay deserves a lot of credit. You know, he was an offensive guru in Washington and helped Kirk Cousins become a decent quarterback in that team. And you couldn't have asked for a better guy to help Jared Goff, who A lot of people thought may have been a bad number two pick for the Rams last year after Carson Wentz, but he's proving his worth this year.
He really is, Dick. And it seems like in games where Gurley has a lot of carries, 20 or more, they're winning. 20 or less carries, they're not winning. Do you attribute the success, the on-field success, more to Gurley, Goff, the combination, or really just what Sean McVay is doing overall?
Well, that's a good question, Carla. And I think in this situation, every game is different and it presents different things. And so it's not a matter of a team going into meetings saying, we are going to run you or we're going to pass to you. And so what they do is that they see what the defense gives them. Mm-hmm. And so when they played Seattle, they knew that Seattle was gearing up against Gurley with their really outstanding defense. So they were more pass happy in that game. In this game, they were able to run the ball more because they knew what kind of a strong defense, especially secondary, and with Calais Campbell up front, and he showed it, that the Jaguars showed. So I think in every game, people think, who are they going to go to? They never do that. They always say, what plays will work? And then what happens is when the play is run, who's covered and who's not, and they go to the man who's not.
We're talking to Hall of Fame sports broadcaster Dick Stockton. So, Dick, on the other side of the ball, the Jaguars, how they look to you? What'd you see?
Oh, they're a good defense. In fact, both defenses played very well in the game. I think the difference in the game was the fact that, the special teams was dominated by the Rams. You know, the 103-yard kickoff return in the beginning, the block punt and the touchdown. You know, a lot of times people forget about how the special teams, the punts, the kickoffs, affect the game, field goals and so forth. And that was the difference, I think, in the game.
And with Jacksonville, Dick, they continue to struggle at home despite, like, this incredible defense and a great running game. Is Blake Bortles the guy that can take them the distance?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know whether Blake Bortles is one of the premier quarterbacks in the league, but I know that Doug Marrone is a guy who's a hard-nosed, throwback kind of coach. He was an offensive lineman. He believes in running the ball, which they do effectively. They have two outstanding runners. They have a good line to run with, and they have a great defense. And so that's their formula for winning. It could change along the lines as time goes on. As far as the home games are concerned, like in many, and you can see here the crowd is into it and they're not into it. You know, when you do games in Miami or in Jacksonville or in Tampa, or in San Diego when they played there, or even in Los Angeles, there is not the kind of intense crowd support that you get in places like New England,
Philadelphia,
mm-hmm. Boston, and Chicago, and Green Bay, obviously, and other places like that. So there is a difference in the crowd reaction.
We are joined by Dick Stockton, a Fox TNT Hall of Fame play-by-play announcer. Dick, Miami, you mentioned, that's a team that you know well. Is Jay Cutler the guy for them? I know Adam Gase is doing wonderful things there in Miami, and their run game is looking good. Is Cutler who they need right now to get them through?
Well, Adam Gase thinks so, and he's an outstanding quarterback coach. And, of course, they wouldn't have won yesterday without Jay Cutler. I think that people always look at the quarterback, and they look at the body language of the quarterback, and Jay Cutler is not, just the cheerful guy around, but he's the best quarterback on the team by far. I mean, I think so. I think he's the best quarterback that they could have. I think the problem is that he didn't get good protection. When you don't get good protection, people always look at the quarterback. They don't see how much he has to worry about the rush and has to get rid of the ball earlier than he wants to. Even when he wants to get rid of it quickly, it's not in timing and sync. The fact that he threw the touchdown, he got there to beat a great Atlanta team on the road, 17-0, proves to me that Cutler's the right guy. Cutler has not been the problem of this team. He hadn't played greatly, but there have been other problems with this team. But here they are, standing 3-2 on the season with all of the problems they have, because not surprisingly, with Adam Gase.
We're talking to Dick Stockton, legendary sports broadcaster. Dick, let's shift gears to the Packers. They lose Aaron Rodgers. They've got Brett Hundley and Callahan on the roster at quarterback. Do you see them picking up somebody else, and who would that be?
It doesn't matter who they pick up. Whoever they pick up doesn't know the offense. It's a very tough blow. You go to any team in the league, and you say, let's eliminate the quarterback, especially when you look at a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
It doesn't matter who they pick up. Now, they're a good football team, so they're not going to go down and they're not going to die quickly. But it's going to be tough. The thing that they have going for them is that they don't have that many dominant teams in the NFC. And if they hang in there and win a few games, even though they won't be a dominant team and they will not win the division, maybe they can squeeze in and get in the playoffs. But where are they really going to go?
Oh, it's so true, and it's so unfortunate because Aaron Rodgers is already putting up, you know, what looked to be an MVP type of season. But a name that we're hearing about every single day, we can't escape it, is Colin Kaepernick. Should he still be in the unemployment line, Dick?
You know, I don't really know about that. You know, here's what I've always felt, and is that teams know what they need. They know, I mean, I'm not that proficient enough to assess how a quarterback is. I'm not a personnel guy. I'm not a general manager. I'm certainly not a coach. And so I can't make, and I don't think anyone can really make the judgment that about how good or bad Colin Kaepernick is and whether a team should have him or not. It depends on what teams decide. So I kind of stay out of that. I don't make those decisions. You know, I love the job I have. I call games, you know, 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock. They're ready to play. I call the games between the lines. I love that, and I stay out of all the rest of it.
That's what makes you a Hall of Fame broadcaster.
We're talking to Dick Stockton on SB Nation Radio. Okay, Dick, let's go to the Houston Texans. They're doing, I think, better at the quarterback position than anybody ever would have thought. They began the year with Tom Savage. Watson's come in, and he's been outstanding. How far can Watson take the Texans in his rookie year?
Well, I mean, there's the limit to what you can do in a rookie year, but I think he has been phenomenal. And I look at the three teams that traded up to get quarterbacks this year, and I said that at the time. I wrote it in my blog, dstockton.com, way back then when the draft was held, and I'm not second-guessing, I'm first-guessing here, and I did then. And that is the teams that traded up to get the picks. Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, trading up over San Francisco. Where are they in the quarterback derby? Pat Mahomes, now Kansas City doesn't need him because they have Alex Smith, who's leading them on a 5-1 season so far, but he'll be the quarterback of the future. And Houston Texans trading up over the Arizona Cardinals to get Deshaun Watson when the Cardinals had the aging quarterback that they had. And so it's something that the smart teams, it's the quick and the dead, and those teams were quick enough to do it. And I think Deshaun Watson showed immediately. And he's a mature guy, he's an intelligent guy, and now you say, how far can they go? They can win the division. And if Deshaun Watson as a rookie comes in and leads them to winning the division, that's pretty good.
We're talking to Dick Stockton. It is interesting, the inverse of those teams that traded up to get a quarterback is the Browns. They keep trading back and accumulating picks and passing on quarterbacks, and boy, they're struggling at the position today. Texans got the best of them yesterday, and a big win there. Let's talk Cowboys for a minute. You covered the Cowboys many years. They're 2-3. They're not where everybody might have thought they would be. How do you see their bouncing back?
Well, I think that if you look at the my opinion of the NFC East is that Philadelphia is right now the class of the league, and I think they will prove to be that. But Dallas is second, and sometimes we've played less than half a season. And the Cowboys aren't where they want to be, and they haven't played as well as he did a year ago. But it's a 16-game season, and the question is, people draw conclusions every week. They want to take your temperature every week about how good or not good you are. Are you going to the Super Bowl or not? Even the story about the Eagles, who have played well, are they the team going to the Super Bowl? No one's thinking Super Bowl right now. In December, late December, you'll have an idea who the possible teams are to get into the playoffs. And then you have the playoffs to decide the Super Bowl. So I think it's folly now to really overanalyze the Dallas Cowboys. They're just a good football team. We know that. They haven't played up to their capabilities. Are they out of the playoffs? No.
All right. That's the great Dick Stockton. Dick, thank you so much for joining David and Carla here on SB Nation Radio.
Pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me on with you guys. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Monday Night Football underway, and so is The Boss and the Gloss with David and Carla.
And the Astros Yankees, bottom of the second.
Bottom of the second.
0-0.
0-0 in the baseball game, and 3-0. It's Tennessee over Indianapolis at this point in the game, still early first quarter.
We got ourselves a game.
So we have a man on the ground. It is Johnny Franks in Nashville at the game. Johnny, give us a report. How's the game unfolding?
So far, so good. You know, first of all, Tennessee's trying to snap a 11-game losing streak to the Indianapolis Colts. In fact, the Colts have won 16 of the last 17 meetings. First place, obviously, at stake in the AFC South. The winner of tonight's game will be tied with Houston and Jacksonville. Marcus Mariota, who missed last week's contest against Miami, started for the Titans, and Tennessee took the opening drive. They actually had a first down at Indianapolis' 33-yard line, but the drive stalled. And Ryan Succop came on to kick a 48-yard field goal, and that's where we stand in the first quarter, 11:15 remaining in the first, Tennessee 3, Indianapolis 0.
Thank you, Johnny Franks from Nashville. And it is notable, Jacoby Brissett starting again for the Colts. Mm-hmm. You know, Andrew Luck's timeline to return is still uncertain, and it's really been hard to sort of know when he'll be back. And thus, of course, the Colts made the trade for Brissett, and he's come in and actually played, I think, pretty well for a guy who wasn't with the team for most of training camp.
Yeah, no, he really has. And I think Andrew Luck should be cleared soon, but whether he gets up to his form with the rhythm and all of that with his receivers and getting his throwing motion back is going to be, it's going to take some time. It's been a long time since he's thrown a ball.
Well, it's hard to believe, but the Colts are not out of it. I mean, they are 2-3 coming into tonight. They're a game off the pay. If they win tonight, they'll be tied.
The AFC South,
for the AFC South, the Colts are still in it. I mean, if Luck could return, they're a different team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're tied for second at the moment, although we'll see how tonight turns out.
Two tied for first, two tied for second.
But going around the NFL, one of the standout performances to me yesterday was Adrian Peterson, the guy who just a couple weeks ago we would have said was done. I mean, it looked like his career was over. He wasn't getting any traction with the Saints. I was just amazed that he was a different guy. He seemed to be about 5 years younger playing for the Cardinals yesterday.
At 32 years old, he had a game like he was 25 yesterday. 134 yards, two touchdowns for 26 carries. And do you know that in his first four games with New Orleans, he had 80 yards total?
Amazing. So he said yesterday, asked, well, why was it so different? And the number one thing he said is they gave me more opportunities. And I think there's something about getting in a rhythm, getting some repetitions. And with the Saints, he carried the ball and they'd pull him out and he didn't get back in and he didn't get into that rhythm and that flow. And I think there is something about a running back being able to read the defense, knowing when to make the cut. And he got into that flow with the Cardinals yesterday. And it was great to see Adrian run well again.
Yeah, it really was. And I think he is a player that is used to carrying the rock. That's, he wants it in his hands. He can have it in his hands. And, you know, he wasn't getting that in New Orleans. And he is rejuvenated now with the Cardinals. He is at the age of 32. I worry about the consistency and durability. This is a long season. But the momentum of getting out of New Orleans and getting to Arizona really carried him yesterday. I liked what I saw. It was great.
Now, his former team, and this will turn the head of Chris Tubbs, our producer who is behind the glass, his former team, the Minnesota Vikings, came away with a win yesterday. Not a win I thought they would get, but they are standing atop their division in the NFC North. They are 4 wins and 2 losses. Chris, congratulations to you and your kind.
Thank you. We worked hard. You know, it was a little touch and go. Packer week is always special for us, but I mean, I felt good going into the game. I feel good. You know, I had to ice up a little bit after, but I feel okay.
Do you feel about Case Keenum?
Yeah. You know, I mean, right now, the Vikings just need to manage, to maintain. Case Keenum, we saw what he did, against the Lions. No, against the Lions. I can't even remember. But where he threw for like 300 and some odd yards.
He looked like a superstar.
Yeah, it really, and I think a lot of people were thinking that's the sort of quarterback that you're going to get, but that's not the sort of quarterback that they need. What I find interesting about the Vikings is, across the NFL, and you guys, you know, with the Texans, you've seen it. Offensive lines have been so atrocious at times. Riley Reiff, who came over as a free agent in the offseason from the Lions, is, I think, one of only three or four left tackles to not allow a sack so far through 6 weeks, which is really kind of amazing. Case Keenum, he needs to be a game manager for the Vikings. Stephon Diggs was out, but they got Laquon Treadwell, the first-round draft pick out of Ole Miss a couple years ago. Finally got him a little bit involved. I think the NFC North, you guys were talking about the AFC South, and I heard Sean Salisbury earlier on talking about the NFC South, and injuries have just opened up so much in the NFL. Yeah, and I feel terrible for Aaron Rodgers as a Vikings fan. I enjoy the opening for the division, but for a guy like that, it's hard to not look at him and say it's not going to be as fun to watch the Packers if he's not playing.
Well, and your Minnesota Vikings, honestly, you know, with the issue with Teddy Bridgewater last year, and it looks like he's ready to come off the PUP possibly mm-hmm. this week.
Yeah, he's going to, all signs point to him practicing on Wednesday, and then they've got 21 days, and all indications are that they're going to activate him. And there are people that are clamoring for him to start after the bye in week 9, which to me seems asinine for a guy that almost lost his leg 14 months ago.
Seriously. Unbelievable. But they're not going to see, you're not going to see Sam Bradford on the field again.
I don't think so. I've heard reports that this could be a career ending, just a matter of wear and tear. I mean, it gets to the point where it's bone on bone, and there's only so much injection or so much pain that you can take when it's bone on bone.
But at least you've got three good options. Well, maybe two, actually.
Maybe two. I mean, yeah, overall, the Vikings, that defense, they're going to have to.
Defense is great.
They're going to have to win low-scoring games.
Right. Okay, Chris, we're pulling for you.
Thank you.
One question that came out of that. So here are the Packers. They lose Aaron Rodgers, who may be the best player in all of the NFL. And there have been some other big injuries around the league. And to chronicle a few, the question posed was, of these four players, which injury has the biggest impact on his team? Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham Jr., David Johnson for the Cardinals. Maybe one of the best running backs, and certainly the best wide receiver, quarterback, and defensive end, J.J. Watt, or outside linebacker, wherever they line him up. I mean, that's a foursome right there. There's four aces of really, really great players. So who has the biggest impact?
I don't even hesitate. It's Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Because although J.J. Watt, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, we did last year without him. They had to do last year without him, and that's when the breakout of Clowney happened, which is so exciting. So you hope that this is the time when you have a very well-coached defense that players are able to step up. So I'm hoping for that. With Odell Beckham Jr., look what they did to Denver after having four receivers go down. And they had lost him for a lot of time earlier. So they can... They're not going to win without him, but they're just not going to win, period, really, right now. I think with, who was the other one?
David Johnson of the Cardinals.
Well, we saw what Adrian Peterson did for that injury update. So by far and away for me, it's Aaron Rodgers, who has this broken collarbone on his throwing arm. His talent and his MVP caliber type season covers up glaring mistakes by the defense and glaring holes in that offensive line. I don't think anybody that they put back there is going to be able to carry the team like Aaron Rodgers.
But they have to get another quarterback now. I mean, look, Brent Hudley, he'll be the starter, no doubt. Brett will be there.
Not to be confused with Brett Favre.
No.
There's different Brett.
Another rumor out there. Bring Brett Favre.
Oh, gosh.
I think he's 48 years old.
Are you making that one up?
No, well, there was a rumor. That was certainly tossed out.
Oh, my gosh.
But they need another quarterback. They've got to find one. Callahan, the backup right now. Has played Division III football, but he is not ready for prime time in the NFL. No one would suggest that. So there is the question, is there a guy you can sign? Is there a guy you can trade for? Trading deadline still a week or two out. So there's room to go get somebody. I mean, Dick Stockton's point, certainly worth noting that really there's nobody you can get who replaces Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that the supporting cast around Aaron Rodgers and on that Packers team was that great. I might even contend...
Outside of Devontae Adams.
Yeah, it's not like the Jaguars, you might say, well, they've got a lot of the pieces except for a quarterback. The Packers' offensive line isn't that strong. Mm-hmm. Their defense has been porous. And, yes, they have a good receiving core. But really after that, I mean, Ty Montgomery is a receiver playing running back. This is not an offense.
He's out too, though. They've really been decimated by injury.
So it's been a tough run for the Packers. I just don't think there's anyone you can plug in there now. But they've got to go find somebody else, maybe a serviceable backup.
Right, because there is not a quarterback that's going to be able to cover up the pitfalls like Aaron Rodgers was for that team. So I'm sorry for the Packers. That's a real blow.
So another big game yesterday was the Chiefs and Steelers. Chiefs, the lone undefeated team coming into the week.
The tale of two teams. Which Steelers do
you
like?
Well, and the Steelers coming off the, I don't know if I can play anymore, Ben Roethlisberger.
Five interception game by Ben Roethlisberger.
It was seemingly all set up for the Chiefs to win, and yet the Steelers came back.
You know, it's interesting, though. Pittsburgh beat Kansas City twice last season. Now, it's every season is different, I know. But one of them was a playoff win at Arrowhead. So they somehow have their number, apparently. And while Ben Roethlisberger kind of laughed in his press conference that, you know, I guess I still have some left in me. Ben, it really wasn't you, actually. You got to thank Le'Veon Bell in that run game. They got it going, and it made a huge difference.
Le'Veon Bell was a big difference maker. The Steelers set the tone again. It was a whole key to their coming back.
And Kansas City has injuries. There's attrition on the offense for Kansas City. So they are now no longer the only undefeated team.
Hard to believe. And then we've got, well, the other big upset of the day, Broncos and Giants, Sunday night football. When you look at the Broncos team that beat the Cowboys a few weeks ago and the way the defense shut down the running game and the pressure that they can apply with their defensive front, and then you look at all the troubles the Giants were having, Odell Beckham Jr. not being on the team, the offensive line troubles.
Four receivers gone. Yeah.
This was a no-brainer. Broncos would win.
This is such a confusing league right now. I don't know if it's parity or if it's lack of consistency, but the New York Giants dominated the Broncos in every single phase of the game from beginning to end. It was shocking. It's still not going to save their season, but it sure makes things interesting.
Well, there was one stat that two times this season now, we've had teams that were 10-point underdogs win, and they both happened yesterday. The Giants over the Broncos, a big upset. And then the other one, of course, was the Dolphins over the Falcons.
Okay, scratch my head on that one.
I mean, Falcons are not, they're not the same team they were last year.
No, they're not.
I mean, their record's fine, but they just haven't looked like they're in sync the way they executed. Matt Ryan's not the same quarterback, at least to date.
Well, you know, they don't have the same offensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan is gone now, and I think he was really key for Matt Ryan because we're not seeing an MVP Matt Ryan. You know, he has the same amount of touchdowns, 7 touchdowns on the season, 7 interceptions on the season. That's not the Matt Ryan we saw last year. But when you look at the quarterback on the other side, Cutler is not the answer for Miami either. I hate to say it. I know a lot of people maybe would not
agree
with me.
Dick Stockton was a little more upbeat about Cutler than I thought he would be.
He was. And I do agree with Dick Stockton about his body language. Mm-hmm. It's really not good. It's not a leader type of body language. It's not a winner type of body language. It doesn't get anybody on your side. But yesterday he had 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 150 yards. That's not someone that you want to put your season on. The other Jay on that team, however, Jay Ajayi, is your man.
He's
your guy. You got to lean on your running game, not on Cutler. That's going to be the key for Miami. But I don't know. Adam Gase loves Jay Cutler. So
Well, going back to the Falcons, they stand 3-2. They trail the Panthers in the NFC South, who are 4-2. But the surprise to me is the Saints. There they sit at 3-2. So it's just another one of those divisions that is wide open.
All right. I agree. It's parity. Unbelievable. It's our word of the day.
Yeah, it's the NPL, the National Parity League.
Right.
There's no doubt. All right, you've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. When we come back, we'll wrap up the first hour and summarize Dick Stockton's thoughts.
Boss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
What a great first hour to get a visit from Dick Stockton. He's a legendary broadcaster.
He is legendary.
Really fun to hear his perspectives on the NFL. One thing that stood out to me is he really talks about the value of trading up for quarterbacks, and that happened 3 times last draft. Mahomes has yet to make the field because, of course, Patrick Mahomes is backing up Alex Smith, and they're doing great in Kansas City. But Watson's performed well. He's lit up Houston. And yesterday, Trubisky had his moments.
He really did on Thursday night against the Falcons.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
He was fantastic. I mean, he showed flashes that given time and given the right coaching, he could be the guy for them.
So he made some good throws down the stretch. Bears come out with the win.
In overtime.
And so, it looks like there's a reason to believe in Chicago.
Well, they've also got, okay, so this is the best. I saw some replays and I was like, wow, that guy really has a strange throw. So rookie running back Tariq Cohen, 5'6", shortest player right now in the NFL to throw a touchdown pass since 1934. Mm. He threw one Thursday night, a bomb down the field, and it was fascinating to watch him throw it. It was really something. So you might want to watch that one. It was good.
So on the screens in front of us, Monday Night Football, it's Indianapolis and Tennessee tied 3-3. And it's the Astros and the Yankees. Unfortunately for Houston fans, the Yankees are up 3-0 in the top of the third. So the Yankees jumping out to a quick lead in the top of the third.
Yeah, well, it's a long game, hopefully.
Morton, the starting pitcher for the Astros. Sabathia, the starting pitcher for the Yankees.
So we'll see how that goes. Makes me nervous. There's already more points on the board tonight than there has been the previous two games.
Yeah, well, you can't have Verlander and Keuchel pitch every night. As Chris was saying, it would have been great for the Astros to get two starts from those guys and have a bunch of rainouts and then come back to them as well.
But, pray to the nature gods. There we go.
When we come back, it'll be the Boss and the Gloss, and we'll talk a little college football on SB Nation Radio.